were faced with a difficult question. The question, what is an American? Is the American simply someone who speaks English? Is the American simply someone who has given up his past heritage? He repudiates his national background? Or is the American someone who has a certain set of personal beliefs and convictions? And the Founding Fathers discovered how very difficult, if not impossible, it would be to arrive at any one single kind of definition. And finally, they concluded that to be an American simply requires accepting the fundamental principles of our country, which are included in the American Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. But going much further back, 2,000 years ago, the early Christians faced the very same identical problem. Their question was, what is required to become a Christian? And today's readings provide the answer. All that is required is a living faith, to believe the good news of God's love for us that Jesus preached. Nothing more. Now, deep down in the heart of each and every one of us, without exception, there are prejudices. Beneath that beautiful, superficial veneer of sophistication that each of us tries to maintain, there is always a bigot hiding. And any human person who claims to be utterly free of bigotry, utterly immune from the passions of prejudice, that person is kidding himself and kidding us. We simply cannot help but be frightened by, and also we cannot help being suspicious of, all those people who do things differently than we do, or those people who look different than we do. It is not merely that we are really convinced that our way is the best way, but in our heart of hearts, we really think that our way is the only way. And we really feel that those people who are different from us are not only ignorant or mistaken, but we really feel that they are all in bad faith. And quite possibly, we think a lot of them are dangerous. You have the professional liberals who lean over backwards to respect the rights of the minorities, quote unquote. Be the minorities blacks, browns, yellows, reds, or gays. Very often, those very same professional liberals simply cannot stand the Italians or the Poles. Or take those many people who are so very worried about discrimination against the younger generation, and yet those same people will never think of shedding a tear for the old people, who are perhaps the group most discriminated against in our society. And then we have us Christians. Christians who pride themselves on loving each other, and they are the very ones who are apt to hate the Jews. And then you have the minorities, quote unquote, who crusade for their own rights, and yet while they go on crusading, they are not above scapegoating others, simply to keep themselves going. It simply means that we are all subject to prejudice. However, The honest man, the honest person, will admit his or her own weaknesses and take them into account, and simply not to permit those weaknesses to dominate his or her life. The true liberal, the real authentic liberal, is not free from prejudice. We are all prejudiced. But the true liberal will understand his or her prejudices and will keep them under control. That, of course, is not always easy. Now, the epistle and the gospel this afternoon are concerned with those deep, raw, primal suspicions about all those people who are different than we are. In the epistle, we have seen Paul agonizing over the apparent failure of the whole house of Israel, the failure to recognize their brother Jesus. And yet Paul goes on to insist that the Jewish people are still God's chosen people, and that the living God will never repent of the promise that he has once made. Paul says that once a people is chosen, that people will always remain chosen as God's people. And no one who claims to be a follower of Jesus can ever turn against the people of Jesus, the chosen people, and they are the Jewish people, of whom Jesus is one, and Mary his mother is one, and all the disciples are Jewish. And then in the gospel, we see Jesus speaking to his own confreres, the Jewish people, and denouncing them because they have begun to exclude everyone except the Jews. He denounces the fact that the Jewish people now have anti-Gentile sentiments. And then we have the dialogue between Jesus and the Canaanite woman. And we should not interpret that as an example of all of a sudden Jesus becoming heartless or without feeling. Rather, the dialogue, St. Matthew tells us in the gospel, is one of education. The dialogue, the gospel writer says, is to educate us, not the Canaanite woman. She's all right. The dialogue shows what a deep and profound faith this beautiful woman has. She's a Gentile. She's not a Jewish lady. And her faith goes on. Despite the obstacles and the hardships and the difficulties, she will not give up asking for healing for a member of her family. And Jesus tells her through this dialogue that what counts most to the woman, he says, it's not your race, not your cultural background, it's not your own religious heritage, or whatever membership in a group that you have that counts. But above all, he tells the woman, it's your faith. Your faith is strong. And that is the kind of faith people have who believe in the love of the living God that is manifested to all of us through Jesus of Nazareth. And that is what makes us a Christian people. Open to all people, to all races, to all minorities, to all colors, and to all creeds. And today, 2,000 years later, Jesus and Paul both tell us that diversity has not vanished. The world today has become truly a global village. It will continue to be more so than ever. And now in our Christian dispensation, we continue to be a many-tongued, a many-colored, and a variegated place. And we are brothers and sisters below the skin, no matter what it is that divides us in whatever way. The point of the epistle and the gospel of good news today is simple and it is profound. Just as no one needs to give up his past to become an American, No one needs to give up his past to become a member of the Church of Christ. Religion is open to everyone. Christianity is necessarily Catholic with a small c, which is a Greek word that means universal. And in the splendid phrase of that great writer James Joyce, in Finnegan's Wake, he says, Catholicism means here comes everybody. So this hot afternoon in August, why don't we all face up to the fact that in each and every one of us, there's a strain of prejudice. There's a little bigoted devil lurking in our heart right now. And we can ask ourselves, what kind of diversity is it that makes each of us a bigot? What do we each violently object to? And above all, this afternoon, what would that little devil of a bigot in our heart think if Jesus worked a miracle for the kind of person that we most despise? How can we go on living and preventing prejudice from interfering with living the life of someone who really believes in the religion of Jesus Christ, a religion that spells out, here comes everyone? We can begin by praying today's prayer. May the walls which prejudice and bigotry raise between us crumble. May the walls crumble beneath the shadow of your outstretched arm.